breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organisations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
ACB Radio.
And with that music, we heralded yet another 2 hours of inexorable, impenetrable mayhem, particularly on this particular program, particularly. It's Blind Lion on ACB Radio Mainstream. Hello there, this is Jonathan Mosen. It's really good to have you with us. It's Monday the 28th of May, Universal Time, and it's getting very cold in the world-famous metropolis of Whanganui. But we have something to warm your heart, and that is a meeting with the snowman. And Jim will be pleased to know that I know how to pronounce his name this time, because last time I did a recorded interview with Jim, I took the advice of my synthesizer. Having rehabilitated myself, I can now say good evening to Mr. Snowbarger.
Good evening, Jonathan. I'm speaking to you live and direct from the world-famous WWF NRW party shed. We're outside tonight.
Do you realize that in exactly a month's time, I will be joining you in that party shed?
Hey, fantastic. I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure that the world will never be the same.
But, no, it'll be exactly a month's time. We should be hanging out in there.
Yeah, that's right. I hadn't thought of that.
You don't do Budweiser or anything, do you?
Budweiser? No, I'm not below it.
I am.
Or above.
I'm above it. I'm above.
We really need to discuss that, don't we?
Yeah.
Get the list of acceptable products so we have things ideal when you show up here.
Yeah, exactly. And I only have one question for you, so this interview is going to be very short. What happened to the...
I got up for this.
What the heck happened to the Snowman radio broadcast?
Oh, yeah. Well, in a word, minor burnout, I would say, is the deal. There are a number of things figuring into that, but that's the long and short of it. I just have had a lot of things come due in life that need my attention, with the regular day job being fairly active at this point, and not just a 40-hour-a-week job, but typically more like 50, plus several things around the house here, and having taken on the Jaws scripting thing as well, there are just several projects that haven't gotten as much of my attention as they really deserve. And I have this characteristic that some people claim is actually a psychological disorder, and that is that I expect a lot out of myself when I take something on. I expect it to be done as well as I can possibly do it, and that gets to be, I guess you get to a point where you just realize you ain't got it in you to do all of this stuff as well as you want it done. And I started feeling kind of like, like I like to say, a standard one-inch square pat of butter on 40 acres of dry toast, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
And that means it's time to scale back a little bit and get life back in order. You know, a lot of people like to live their lives really, really, really active lives, busy lives, where every minute is committed to something, and I never really have been like that, and really am still not, but it had become like that. So, in order to restore some quality, I found that I needed to, at least for the summer, lay back on the Snowman Show, which was about the only, optional thing that I was doing. It's a hobby. It's not a job. It was something that I was doing because I had time. And I really would like to bring it or something like it back, and we'll be spending the summer thinking about how to do that and how to scale back these other things so I'll have more time to spend on that. But for now, we're just going to lay back and smell the roses and enjoy it, and it's feeling really good.
Well, Jim, thank you for coming on the program.
That's great.
Let me ask you. I mean, I suppose there does come a time when you start something off and it's a hoot, it's a real bit of fun, and you get a lot of audience reaction, and then, of course, you get into some sort of commitment where you're expected to produce one half-hour show every week. There must be a lot of pressure associated with that, actually trying to keep the standard up all that time.
Yeah, actually there is, especially to satisfy myself. Coming up with new material, you know, I've often said that I'm most creative when I have a lot of idle time. Well, I didn't have any idle time. So I found that I wasn't creating a lot of new stuff. I was picking up stuff off the web and reading that and just trying to be creative in the moment with it. But I really didn't do a lot of thinking ahead of time just because I was so heavily loaded. So I started feeling like while the presentation was still pretty much on par, the quality of the material, the input to it, was starting to slide. And I react pretty strongly to minor indications of that. You know, I guess I have a pretty high-gain loop tuned around myself. And when I feel it slide, it really bothers me. And I'd rather detect that early and knock it off while it was still good instead of waiting until it got terrible. And that's a possibility, because it is quite a load, and that's a really expensive format to produce. You know, as I commented on my last show, there it sounds pretty casual. You know, like it's just a fool around session, but there's a lot of work that goes into making it sound as natural as it does when it's really one guy doing it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. One of the things that's most talked about, I think, about your show was the fact that you were having this sort of ongoing conversation. Many people didn't realize that both voices were you, you know, the kind of the telephone-soundy little voice that used to answer you sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us how you did that? What's the process for doing that?
Well, it's I got it down to a science, pretty much a plug-and-play science at the end there. I used a multi-track software. In my case, I used Cakewalk to do that. In the earlier days, I used multi-track tape, but any multi-track recording technique will work for you. And one channel is fed from the microphone through a filter for the telephone guy, who's really kind of the anonymous producer of the show. He's probably the guy who's operating the board and taking care of all the other little busy work and just chiming in whenever he feels like it. And his purpose is primarily to play the straight man, you know, to goad me on, and typically he succeeds at that. So he's into one channel. I'm in the other channel with a straight mic feed, and then there's a third track that is our star ace reporter, the man who does the news. And he's fed through a pitch shifter and a fairly complex series of things. There's a major bass boost on him and compression on all of us, of course. So everybody's got their own tailored feeding into a particular channel, and I'm just jumping back and forth, picking which track to record on while I listen to the other two. And the one that gets the most attention, of course, is the main snowman character, who does most of the talking, and I'll sit down and do that straight through, typically. Sometimes I will pause and give someone a chance to say something, but I may not know exactly what it's going to be. In fact, sometimes during that pause, I'll imagine what that person will say, and I'll genuinely laugh about it. I'll just actually, you know, react to something I heard in my head. And I'll go back later and try to figure out what the hell that was and stuff it in there with the other character. And the funny thing is, sometimes I can't remember what it was that I imagined that was so funny. So now I'm on the spot. I really need to come up with something for this character to say that deserves the laugh that it got on the other channel. So that's one aspect of it. The other is that sometimes I will actually stop in the recording and then engage in a series of bouncing back and forth from one channel to the other, doing the various parts and constructing, and very much on the fly, without premeditating this at all, jump back and forth on the various tracks and create this conversation. And that really is a knack that I must admit I've got, and worked hard on getting over the years. I've probably been trying to do that for 30 years. And doing it and having it sound natural, having it sound like everybody's hearing the other guy say something they absolutely didn't expect him to say, and having the laughs be natural and innocent, especially when sometimes it doesn't come out as natural and innocent as that, and you have to go back and retake it to make it sound that way. And deliberately constructing this natural sort of interplay it's a lot of fun. It's a process that requires a very acute sense of how you sound and how other people are going to react as they hear it. There's a lot to it, really.
And how long did it take to produce, on average, the half-hour Snowman broadcast?
Well, to actually do the audio at first rough cut, I would say 4 to 5 hours. And when you add some prep time, a fair amount of post-production time, going back and cleaning up things that really weren't quite as right as they ought to be, and satisfying my anal retentive nature, you know, my endless pursuit of perfection, and dubbing in an occasional sound effect, and going and digging around trying to find the damn thing, and on and on. It can be 6 to 8 hours of fooling around with the show. So it's pretty much, in my case, the entire Saturday is tied up with some aspect of the program.
Yeah. My wife heard her first, it just was very coincidental, that she heard her first Snowman radio broadcast the week that you were sending me up. And she thought it was hilarious.
Oh, that was the one where we did the deal about you being out on the family yacht,
yeah,
as the Mir space station comes crashing down off the waters of New Zealand.
Yes. I must say, you've got a bit of work to do on the New Zealand accent, though.
I'm not sure that it can be achieved.
No, it's an accent Americans find very hard to get.
Well, there are a lot of, you know, there are a lot of subtleties to doing an accent, and I've got a good ear for that, and I think some voices are more or less amenable to it, and I'm not sure that my mouth and pipes are really. What would I do if I lived in New Zealand? That would be interesting to see what would actually happen to me. It'd be hell to be born there and not be able to master the accent, but that could actually happen to me.
Man, that would be dreadful. If you would like to speak with the Snowman, our number is area code 212-812-2800, courtesy of spiderphone.com. That's area code 212-812-2800, and when you're asked to enter a PIN, you should enter 0480-5512. That's 0480-5512, and that is what this person has done from area code 631. Good evening.
It's a wonder that my name didn't show.
Oh boy, we're relieved about that, aren't you?
Yeah, but it usually does. I'm a regular here. And so anyway, it's Nick. My name's Nick, and I'd like to ask you a few questions about the Snowman Radio broadcast.
All right, go ahead, do it.
I noticed that Cakewalk. It's actually this is like I noticed that what you really did, like, there's a little bit too much highs for a telephone sounding sound. Did you ever try to go 8-bit mono, 8,000 hertz?
Oh no, I would. That would really be. That might be more genuine, but genuine wasn't exactly what I shot for. But that's perceptive of you to notice that. There, the intelligibility mattered to me more than to accurately reproduce the telephone.
The other thing is, it may not have been a phone. I mean, it may have been a producer coming through one of those little speakers that you often get in recording booths.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Really, I think I started out. Incidentally, this has a precedent. People have done this before, and I had heard it, and it inspired me to play with this effect. And basically, the goal is to make your voice just sound different. It doesn't matter exactly how, just so it's distinguishable from your main character, and you don't have to change the accent or the pronunciation or anything that you do. You just use this filtering technique that just says to the listener, that's somebody else. You know, that's not the same guy who just spoke. So I could talk the same way, but just talk through that effect, and you know, the idea is conveyed that it's a separate character. Now, as to actually using other sampling rates and other bit depths, that would be fairly difficult to do in Cakewalk. You're going to be committing the entire project to one or the other. I don't think you can do each track separately. At least I've never managed to do that, you know, have a different sampling rate or a different bit depth for each track.
Have a look at Cakewalk. Seems to be pretty accessible. So go to Vegas, and it didn't look too great.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I've got the Vegas Lite, and I haven't tried that. I want to dig that out and play with that, because I'm always looking for an alternative. Cakewalk is, well, it's accessible with the right set of scripts, and I'm not sure what Windowize does with it. I think there are some set files for it, but it's a mess. It really is. And it's not the most responsive environment. And to be honest with you, that's one of the reasons that I think I burned out as quickly as I did and got to the point where I needed to take a break, is because the clunky, inefficient, undependable software that you have to push around to do this just really got annoying after a while. Like, for example, you want to punch in on a track, so you press the key to start recording, and maybe you hear a half a second of the previous audio that you're overwriting in your headphones. And you're actually overwriting it, but it doesn't sound like it. If you were doing that on a tape recorder, you'd be convinced that you hadn't punched in. Well, you can change some settings to try to minimize that, but you always get that kind of effect. That kind of thing just sort of wears you down after a while. Push a key and wait for half a second for it to respond, or in a couple of cases, have it actually lose a fair amount of work.
Ouch!
Oh, yeah, and It was. I don't think I can describe my reaction to that to you adequately.
No, please not on this program.
I wasn't pleased.
We've got time for one more question, Nick.
Okay, I'm just going to give you just a little bit of info here. Actually, a piece of info, and then I need to question it. SoundForge, let me just tell you, I'm going to be quick on this, is two-track. If you did not know,
I was aware of that.
I thought you might be. Yeah.
You might want to go there if you, and then record your news flash as a separate wave. And of course, just wondering, your voice sounds different on the phone. You got that? Hi, this is a Snowman Radio broadcast.
It really sounds
different on the phone.
Well, that's because actually I'm several different people, Nick.
It's not that, I know, not on the phone, I mean, in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, the snowman sounds different than what I'm listening to now. You.
That's right.
And he looks different than he does on ACB Radio as well.
I really am different.
I have this guy sitting next to me at the convention. He suddenly sort of, this guy just sat down on the seat beside me in Kentucky last year. I had no idea he looked so different.
Yeah, I was in party mode. See, that was a different guy.
Well, that was a bad night, that one.
Oh, man.
Well, bad morning.
By the way, John, are we having a open forum or not?
Why?
I just want to move.
Oh, no. Probably not.
All right. Oh. You're right.
We'll do that next week.
Next week. Thank you.
All right.
Goodbye to you. There you go.
That was a pleasure. I hadn't thought of that.
What did he say, sir? I was just moving through the calls. I missed that bit. What did he say?
Oh, he just telling me how to do the program with SoundForge.
Oh.
So that I can get away from Cakewalk.
Okay. There you go. You see, you can always learn something by being on Blindline. For example,
right.
you did not know before that SoundForge was a two-track editor.
It is.
Yeah, there you go. We're speaking with Jim Snowbugger, and we take this call. Good evening to you. Hello?
Hello there.
Ah. Where's he gone? Oh, my God.
What code was that, anyway?
Oh, it was an unknown caller, man. Unknown. Let's see if we can get them back. I've got another one. There we go. We'll try this one here. I don't know. It's because everybody's calling in at once. Hello there.
Yes, good evening. And I have done it again.
Yes, that's all right, Pam.
I'm a caller by the name of Pam, Mr. Snowman.
Hi, Pam. Oh,
hi,
man,
how are you?
You're all over Blind Line, aren't you?
Kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
It seems like I do call in quite a bit. I never think of it until someone says, "Yeah, I heard you on Blind Line last week."
I've been.
What can I tell you?
I'd just like to say. I've been reading a Dr. Seuss book. It's a CD actually with my children called Green Eggs and Ham, it's absolutely got my child Richard, who's three, riveted. He's coming up with all sorts of rhymes I never thought a 3-year old could manage. So anyway, I just thought you could say I am Pam. Pam, I am.
I am.
Pam, I am.
Pam, I am.
Pam, I am. Yes.
Oh, I hate that thing.
This program's silly. This is a silly Blind Line.
Oh yeah. Wow. I'm sure, and I congratulations to Heidi for going into school, and a bit of tear in Mommy and Daddy's eyes.
Yes.
It won't be too long before she's driving, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Good.
Yeah, that'll be handy, won't it?
It will.
Well, Dave says you don't know you feel old when you're sitting in the passenger seat of the car and your 16-year-old daughter is the one who's driving.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure that I have a shotgun license by then.
Anyway, what I wanted to say, Jim, I love the snow. I'm going to miss you, but I can certainly understand why you need to take a break from this, because that took an awful lot of work. I don't know a lot about production, but enough to know that had to have taken a lot. And I think a couple of the most favorite shows that I really enjoyed, and I'm one of these who keeps saying I'm going to write, I'm going to email, and I never do, was, well, the first one that I really enjoyed was the one where you and Hefties and your producer guy there did the whole thing on oldies and Yesterday Once More.
Oh, yeah.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll have to dig that one out. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Hmm.
Now, we were all three there at the same time, weren't we?
Yes, you were. Yes,
okay.
You were. And another one, and I was beginning to wonder what substances had been ingested, was or otherwise... introduced was that one where you did the it went so fast, it sounded like a variant on Fire Sign Theater or something, with the cake and the convention coverage. I mean, I turned on the radio in the middle of it and I went, what?
What has he been smoking?
Yeah, exactly.
And where did he get it?
What the hell?
Oh, let's see. That would have been show 52 when
I
we celebrated
so.
One full year of broadcasting.
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah.
Time we lose it? And
yeah,
I think you
yeah,
did.
Yeah. Yeah.
That took a lot of talent to put that one together. So
well,
we all did, but those two in particular stand out.
Well, you know, there was also another wacky one way, way back. I think it was around show 12 or something like that, where I really did a complete departure from Mr. Chat and went off and did this Fire Sign Theater type thing. And none of it makes any sense at all.
It's
not really intended to, and if it does, it's by accident.
The thing
is that the one you were you I think you began your oldies, as I don't know a better term for it, with a demonstration of the various harmonics. Isn't that one you said they took off of live stream?
No, they didn't.
Number 12.
They didn't take any off.
Oh, they didn't. Well, I have to look
they
it
never
up.
Removed any.
They never. Okay, I misunderstood. Maybe you were just saying. Maybe I misunderstood what you said. But I would like to go. I intend to go back and catch them all. I only started in shortly after they came on line of the original Blind Line.
Well, see, now you can survive the summer while I take a break, because you've got 80 programs to go back and look at when Livestream America comes back on the air in probably a week or two. And 12, if you liked 52, 12 is one to check out.
Oh, I'm going to love 12, because
yeah.
It sounded like I would have. It
yep.
sounded like I absolutely would have. I love audio. I don't know a heck of a lot about it, but I always want to know more. So on that note, I'd better let somebody else get on here.
Well, nice to talk to you, Pam. I am.
Yeah, take care.
All right.
Bye-bye, Pam. I am.
Wait, one more thing.
Are you... going to be offering at any point, or continuing to offer at any point, CDs of any of these?
Yeah, I'm going to. What I'm going to do, I think, maybe is scrape together a kind of a highlights CD that brings together a lot of the special things that have been done. I've already listened to a few of those collected together and thought it made a made a pretty neat collection. I have some digging to do that because I wasn't organized. I'll get the word out somehow.
And by
that.
The time you're through that, you'll be exhausted again. It'll be enough.
Yeah, I have to take the fall off, won't I?
Hey, thank you, guys.
Yep.
It's
you
okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
That was
yeah,
fun.
I want to get back into that. I need to rearrange my life so I can do more of this kind of thing than the kind of thing I'm doing. That's I think what I'm thinking at the moment
yeah.
is that I've been doing technical work for a long time, and that's what really wears me out. And the entertainment stuff is fun, and so as soon as I get some of the technical stuff cleaned up, then maybe I can come back and do what I'd really rather do.
You're entertaining us with your many script files for JFW, and we should talk about that, but I better not keep these calls waiting. And this one is, I would say, area code 631. Hello there.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, how nice of you to say so.
Yes, it is, sir.
Oh, boy, I got it.
Yep. Yeah, I can't hide from you, can I?
Huh. Can't hide from you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. If you say so.
Go ahead, though.
You know, the one show that I really thought was great was the one when you're talking about when you made the when your friend made the phone call in this area where a person is like practicing the piano and after he hangs the phone up, he says, "Ah, nice job," and he realizes he's in the middle of an actual concert.
This was the series of events that had happened to blind people, embarrassing things they had done that are kind of unique to that situation.
Yeah, and I can sympathize with you falling out of a hayloft. I've done that myself.
Oh.
And I had the luck, I don't know if you call it the lucky fortune of falling into at least an empty plastic water bucket to kind of break my fall, but I had a black and blue from my elbow all the way up to my armpit that changed many different colors to make life interesting.
That hurts. No, I wasn't quite so lucky.
What did you fall on?
I hit my back on the way down on the
ooh.
Edge,
ooh.
And that hurt like I can't even describe that. And then I fell about 8 feet and landed in mostly straw. That was fine. That was easy. It was that bang on the way down that.
Wow.
Yeah, that was killer.
We need counseling, man.
Yeah.
We need because I fell out of a loft as well, except that this loft was in a garage that belonged to my friend's place, and I fell all the way down. It was quite a high loft, all the way onto the concrete.
Oh!
And if it hadn't been for that fall, who knows? I probably wouldn't be here today doing stupid things.
That can wake you up.
Yeah.
It certainly woke me up. For one thing, I always had excellent hearing. I just was able to use the echolocation technique to keep track of where I was.
You had excellent what, sorry?
Hearing.
Sorry?
Hearing. Huh?
Oh.
What? What's the matter with you?
Yeah, right.
So anyway, that I think pointed out that was the first time I noticed that I was not doing as well as I used to do and was losing track. And the worst thing about this particular event was I was doing a radio show at the time, kind of a new age music show, and fans would write us, and this one particular couple wrote us, and they were just seemed like our kind of people, and we struck up a conversation with them, and this is just seeming very natural. Come on out to the place, we'll grill out, we'll drink a bottle of wine and chit chat, and they did. They came out, and so I was touring this guy around my place. I was showing him. I was showing off, and he doesn't know me. He's never met me before other than over the radio. And he's really impressed with me and how I'm getting around my place and all
and
of the property.
And then you fall out of the loft.
And then I fall out of the loft right in the middle of this whole deal. It's the worst possible thing that can happen. How humiliating. It's just, if you can survive stuff like that and get up and go do it again, I guess you're fairly resilient. I'm here.
Or made of rubber, one or the other.
I think it's a real bad scene, Jim, though, when you go and visit the places of people who ring you up on the radio, especially when you're on midnight to dawn in some room.
Yeah, no, this is... It's because you get a certain pre-selection of personality types.
Yeah, don't do it already. I told him, Julie, don't go. Yeah. Are you got anything else for us, Richard, before I cut you off?
No, just Jim, I enjoy your work, and I was actually a little disappointed. I thought maybe to end the show, it would have been better to go after maybe Hefty with something like a chainsaw or a weed whacker or something, just to wake that boy up.
Well, I should have. You know, that was a real disappointment. I'm glad you mentioned that. My idea of the last show in the series for now would be a really grand exit. But I had some major computer problems that
you
figure
out. You were really pretty bummed out.
God, yeah. So I just ended up limping into the finish line, and that was a real disappointment. So I have to come back now. Had I been able to finish on a bigger note like that, I might have just wrapped this whole thing up. But as it is, I need to come back and recover.
Beautiful.
Okay. Well,
thanks, Rich.
All right, Jim. We'll be talking to you because I'm sure you're going to be writing some more scripts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. And you're going to be on Blind Spot next week, is that right, Richard?
Yeah.
Excellent. So tune in for
I'm under the knife.
The horseman. He's the certified horseman.
Yes.
That's right.
He's the certified horse. And we will hear the Richard Custer story next week, an exclusive. So I'm looking forward to that.
Right.
On Blind Spot.
Me too.
Yeah, I can feel the heat already.
We'll hear from you.
Well, goodbye then.
All right, Jim. Take care.
Bye.
Well,
bye,
John.
Hey, it's like, oh, thank you. I thought you were ignoring me for a minute there. Area code 336, hello.
Well, you were a last thought, but he didn't forget.
Oh, I want to hear you. Hello there.
Hello there, Snowman. This is the Pat Man. How you doing?
Hey, Patrick.
Yeah,
my buddy.
Yeah, I just thought this blind line thing would just give me another excuse to say hey to you, you know?
So, yeah, I'm glad you did.
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, Patrick keeps me he keeps me fed with little special files and capturing the Snowman Unplugged series late at night when we get on and fool around. And,
yeah, I had to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been... When do you do that? Because whenever I've gone over there, it's not on.
When?
Yeah.
Never.
That's why it's never on.
I haven't done it in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, no.
Like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
I
think that one that he did that I actually archived for him, was that the last one you did? Or did
that's
you
right, where we did that. We pulled up a bunch of stuff from my friend and me back in the 70s fooling around the radio station.
That was some good stuff.
it was fun to hear again. Thanks for doing that, by the way, and I've posted that. I still have a link.
It was Derek's idea. He wanted to listen to it after the fact, so I figured, you know, since I'm archiving it, I might as well just, like, you know, stick a link to it up there somewhere.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think I'm still pointed to it, although surely most people who wanted to hear it have gotten to it by now.
No, there have been a lot of hits to the site, that's for darn sure. Oh, by the way, Derek told me to say hey to you. He's a little incapacitated right now, so he couldn't call in, but...
Why?
Whatever that means.
No, he's just got a really big headache and he can't move, okay? That's
ooh.
It.
What causes that?
I don't know.
Oh.
Listening to too many episodes of The Snowman,
that,
hopefully
that
not.
That could be.
It could be Snowman withdrawal.
You were talking about how you finish your shows. That kind of reminded me of the first show, actually.
Well,
a
you
little
see,
bit.
The first one, I'll let you talk. In what respect?
Well, okay, in the respect that... Okay, on your first show, you know, when you were basically just kind of introducing yourself and what you did and all that, all right, and then on the last show, what I'm thinking is that you have this line, you go up, and then in between the two points, you got all this cool crap, and then you go the other way, you know, and it goes down.
You mean?
I'm sorry, I had to say that.
The first one sucked, and so did the last one. The ones are great.
I believe in that.
No, all of them are good. I just wanted to see what you'd say.
It's sort of like a form of...
That's what I said.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah.
It's like a form of audio production karma, you know? What comes around,
right.
Goes around.
Comes around, goes around.
Yeah. I believe in that. I believe in that. Hey, Patrick, do you know, Patrick, are you coming to the ACB convention?
I'm going to try. I have things set up so that if I actually get enough money to go, then I'll be able to get there, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen yet, so I'll find out in probably a couple weeks.
How much are you wanting, then?
Huh?
How much do you want?
How much do you need?
Yeah.
Nothing.
You're doing a fundraiser.
Yeah,
we've got contributions.
Well, the nice thing is I'm actually I'm being sponsored by the Friends in Art, so I won't have to pay full for the price.
Oh, we got Mr. Lewis on standby here.
Better.
We got Mr. Lewis standing by to do a special telethon for you.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Yeah. You'll be there because Jonathan and I will both be there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was actually one of the main reasons I was going to get there. You know, maybe the snowman will be there, you know.
We have plans for you.
In Iowa.
I'm honored about that.
Yeah, it's not like you have to go too far.
Yeah.
It's in your state.
Yeah, well, I could walk there from here.
No, of course, the one that was in Greensboro I had to miss. Go figure. Because I'm in Greensboro.
Well, there you go. See, it's not necessarily.
Yeah.
Well.
That was, like 5 or 6 years ago, I guess? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well.
And I didn't know nothing about nothing back then, so I missed it.
Me neither.
Well, you know, Patrick and his friend Derek Lane have gotten me on the instant messenger from time to time and coaxed me into this little deal where we get on and stream to one another while we just play around.
That was fun.
And it was really kind of amusing. Well, here's my synthesizer and here are the menu keys on it, and here's what happens when I do this and that.
Yeah, and play with your vocoder.
Yeah.
Gotta love that.
Compare vocoders.
Derek's got a better one than you. Sorry.
Yes, he does.
What vocoders? What have you guys got in the vocoder department?
Well, Derek's got a Digitech Quad 4, and Snowboy over here's got a DP4, and they're kind of the same.
DP4 is an Ansonic device from mid-90s.
Wow.
Digitech just came out last year, I think.
Yeah, it's just a more recent device with a little broader frequency response, and sounds pretty good. But anyway, it's kind of a fun thing you can do. You can get on, and anybody, you know, who can stream to Live 365 while they're still around can do this. Just get on with your friends and talk and fool around and have two or three people listening to you. And to be honest with you, that's all I ever really achieved with the Snowman Unplugged thing.
Hey, you had eight one time.
I never saw. Well, that was the max, wasn't it?
I think it was.
The most I know about. And I thought that was pretty neat to have eight people listening.
Well, hey, I've actually. It's kind of annoying though, because I got this slot on ACBRI now from 3 to 6 a.m. here in the U.S. and I've actually gone on there and there were zero people. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, I was playing around with the Snowman Unplugged a couple of times and saw zero and just said, wouldn't I really rather be doing something else?
Well, you could always listen to yourself and drop it up to one.
Well, I do. I already subtracted that out. I usually listen to myself coming back just to make sure it's going out.
It's a good effect.
Cool.
In fact,
not break up.
We should, when the calls dry up, we should have a bit of fun with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
We certainly hope to see you at the ACB convention, Patrick, because Jim and I have put into our pockets to buy you a Coke.
Oh, wow.
Between the two of us,
yeah.
And we don't have quite enough yet,
yeah.
But your call here did help some.
Yeah. Oh, wow, Derek just got online, and maybe he'll call you soon.
Your call is important to us.
Yep. Yeah, virtually.
Yeah.
Right, so that'll be a bunch of fun if I can make it.
Yeah, you betcha it will.
Well, let's not save up for next year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well.
Nice to talk to you, pal.
Oh, and he's trying to call in, and he says the spider phone code doesn't work. Oh, he's
it will work. So
of course it works.
Make it work.
It's because he has a headache.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, all right then.
Oh, well.
Time to go now. I think I've got
Pat, thanks for calling.
All righty.
Talk to you later.
See ya.
Okay, bye now.
Or not.
Right.
We're speaking with Jim Snowbarger, the Snowman. Good evening.
Hey, this is Matt Campbell calling the cheap way.
Oh, my goodness. Now we have to say a line for Matt and then wait 30 seconds for it to trickle through. Hello, Matt.
Using net to phone, in case you didn't guess. Now, I don't think that was a 30-second delay, but I take it that was exaggerated.
I never exaggerated.
He's going to ask you if you do the Snowman radio broadcast under Linux.
Actually, he and I were writing a few messages back and forth once a while back about him using Linux. I don't think he'd be able to do all his audio production stuff under Linux, so we'll have to wait a while for that.
I certainly would like to have a nice, fast, snappy, responsive, dependable, high-quality environment to work in. I would. I don't know if Linux can or ever one day will afford that. The Windows environment to me just seems slow. And that's a real frustration to me. I just don't have the patience for this. And I'm really sometimes so fed up with computers I can't express it adequately. And I feel like just throwing the damn thing out and moving out to a log cabin somewhere.
Settle back on this couch for a moment then, yeah?
It sounds like something I need, but I'm not sure I want. Hey, Matt. Are you still listening?
He's gone. He's gone.
I was waiting for the 30 seconds timeout.
I was waiting for him to come back, and he's been dropped, I think because of the net-to-phone 5-minute delay.
Well, see, and here I am talking about computers and how undependable and clunky and plain flat-out.
Yeah, and to think if he'd have used the good old-fashioned telephone, he'd still be with us today.
That's right.
He'd still... Well, there you go. This is the Snowman on ACB Radio Mainstream, and I'm just making sure that we've... Oh, my goodness, it's madness here. Let me see. Ah, here's someone that you may have heard of, Mr. Steve Mazzura, all the way in New York.
New York, New York, the land of Snowmania East.
Hey there, buddy, how are you?
How are you, guy? I'm sorry I won't be able to come and see you this year at the convention, but I went into my boss and I said, can I have that week off? And she said,
oh,
nope.
Do you know what I just did? I just cut the snow...
Well, I'm still here. I don't know who you...
I just kept the snowman off.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well, he's gone now. Well, it was fun while it lasted.
Oh, well, good. Now we can talk about him.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. You first.
I think... I'm looking forward to going to Iowa to spend some time in his party shed.
Yeah, that party shed has got some notoriety, that's for sure. Sounds like an interesting affair. I wonder if it's multi-level. I wonder if he's got, like, the entrance level, like, you know, where you hang your coats and kennel your dogs, and then there's the upstairs level, then there's the sanctuary level. And
yeah.
I imagine this multi-level structure out in the middle of a bean field somewhere.
I think it's a very stately sort of manner. That's how I imagine it.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But I just hope he calls back.
That would be handy.
Yeah. What were you going to ask?
Answer my question.
What was the question?
Well, my question is, if and when he comes back.
Yes.
take away all the computers, take away all the technology, and take away all the other stuff, and what does the snowman like to do when the computers don't cooperate and he just throws in the towel? Oh, maybe that's him now.
Oh, I'm back.
You mean
we criticize technology and look what it does.
We
it doesn't like to be talked.
We didn't
about
even notice
that
you'd. We didn't even notice that you'd gone actually. But actually,
we were sitting here fantasizing about your party shed and how many levels it has. And
oh, I'm so sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, going up to the fifth level, the sanctuary level, you know where.
Oh yeah.
And also,
stuff goes on.
Don't blame the technology because that was my fault and. it was me.
Yeah,
I pushed
all of a sudden that
I
the host had disconnected this line.
Yeah.
And so I now see why. You're the host and you did it.
Yeah.
must have been something you said.
Must have been.
Well, I was just hypothesizing on asking you. Now I get to ask you for real. The questions that people just love to know, and that is, take away all the computers and put away all the technology, and what does a snowman like to do when he's not computing? Tell us about the real Jim Snowbunder.
Oh, well, we can go into that some here, surely. I could never guarantee there'd be a comprehensive treatment of the subject because, this is still a family show, so there's that. I like music. I like to settle down with the wife and, a nice drink and have a... some nice...
Even she does get to see you occasionally.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I take her pretty seriously.
Oh, that's a good thing.
She's fantastic. She's my kind
of
girl.
Speaking of music, I happen to be in possession of something I probably should not reveal that I am in possession of, and that is a bootleg copy of a Snowman original song.
Well, I know you're a bootlegger, Steve, as anybody would. You'd be the man who'd have it.
yep. You played an original number of yours on a show once, and as with most of them, I forgot to talk
over it.
Well, you didn't talk quite close enough, and I was able to snip it out. So I have my very own copy of I just called it Silly. I don't know what else.
Oh, Silly Sally?
That's the one.
Yeah, yep. You know, it's a weird thing about Silly Sally. It's probably the simplest song I ever wrote. And I didn't really even like it all that much. I just did it because it was, it just seemed, I don't know, goofy and kind of something I could use. But more people have liked that song and requested it of me than anything else I've ever written.
Well, you are now in the company of Loudon Wainwright, who gets the same thing with Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road.
We didn't like that either.
No, he wrote it because somebody pumped him full of too much grain alcohol, and out he came.
Yeah, I can understand.
If you listen to any of his other albums, there's nothing that he's ever done that sounds anything like that.
That was a classic.
Yeah, it still is.
To me, it was in the category of funny once or twice.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't sit down and listen to it, you know, every day.
No.
But a lot of songs are like that, I guess.
That's true. But if you listen to some of the stuff that he's come out with recently, it's real thought-provoking stuff.
I'll be darned.
I wonder, where did this other thing come from?
Yeah.
Somebody must have pumped him full of something that day.
Well, or he did.
Right.
Sometimes those things are voluntary, you know.
That's true. Like, I got a request from somebody on ACB Radio Interactive the other night that said, play me the song, I want to get drunk, but it's a work night, so maybe I shouldn't do that. And I wrote back to her, and I said, no, don't do it. Oh, God, don't do it.
Yeah, then you love it to the night you're doing it, but the next day you may not love it at all.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And, what the kind of things that you do are very reminiscent, or the kind of things that you have been doing on the broadcast are very reminiscent of a gentleman named Joe O'Brien that used to do that sort of thing live. I don't know, he must have done this, he must have had hours and hours of prep time in the studio, and they must have hated him because he probably had to book the production room for days in advance to do like these 2-minute spots. But he had a companion on his program. This was long before DJs brought in, you know, multiple people and everything, and they actually had a little posse going on there.
Yeah.
He had a companion named Benny that was him speeded up. The tape was speeded up. Benny was the joke man, and Joe O'Brien was the straight man, and Benny always got the best of him.
Yeah, that'd take a lot of work.
Yeah.
You basically would have to plan that out. Everything ahead of time.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's what he did. This is going back into the 50s.
Wow.
I used to listen to it riding on the bus to school every day.
Well, there's a guy in Minneapolis who did the afternoon show on WCCO who did conversations with himself as well. He'd do different voices, but I think he just was switching accents and just sitting there behind a single microphone and doing it.
Wow.
And, it didn't sound as animated.
It's a bit of a rip-off.
Well, you know, everybody's got their own deal, but...
Hey, if it works for you.
Yeah.
Do it.
I'd really like to do a live show with somebody who is like-minded. This stuff that we did recently from the 70s was kind of with... I had a friend in high school who tried to do that with me, and we had the beginnings of what I think could have turned into the kind of show I would like to hear. When I listen to duos on the radio, I hear two professionals competing.
Oh, yeah.
And what I want to hear is two people that are interacting very tightly and giving one another space. You know, when you hear the other guy start talking, you immediately cut off and give him space to say something, and then you detect just the right minute to jump back in, and everybody is saying something to compliment and react to what the other guy said.
Right.
And I don't...
That would be compliment with an E, not an I.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We could have fun in the party shed, you know. You got.
I suspect the...
Put a microphone out there.
You got streaming in the party shed.
Any two or all three of us could come up with some rather interesting things.
Well,
I'm sorry, I will not be able to make it.
Maybe we should turn the light... Maybe we should broadcast on ACB Radio Mainstream from the party shed. But the
live. Hey, that's live from the party shed.
Yeah.
Like that.
That could be great fun.
Maybe we could do... I don't know what sort of condition I'm going to be in after flying all that way, and I guess it depends on whether the airline offers me a wheelchair or not when I get to the...
They will. They always do. You count on that.
You know what I did? Just throw your bags at it and say, okay, let's go.
Yeah. If somebody suggested that was the answer, yeah. Well, goodbye, Mr. Matsura.
Have a good one.
Nice talk, Steve.
Okay, bye. He's a fine man, that Steve Matsura. You're speaking with the snowman. Hello there.
Well, hello there, Jonathan. This is Ray Slayton to Tallahassee.
Hey, nice to hear your voice.
Hi, Ray. Well, hello, Jim. How are you?
Good to talk to you.
Well, good to talk to you.
I don't think we ever have talked live, have we?
No, we have not.
No.
I've sent you a couple of things, and I was quite flattered that you used one of the things I sent via email, something having to do with how women and men compare with computers, something about...
Oh, yeah.
The man and woman thing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that was quite a... I got quite a little deal there about that, didn't I?
But the reason I'm calling is... I love your music, and a lot of times you make reference to, here's a song I wrote back in Austin, Texas, back in 1988. Do you still do any songwriting now?
No, I don't know when I would do it. But time is part of the problem, of course. But I used writing, I think, for therapeutic purposes. And in my single days, you know, it helped me cope with this or that or whatever. And so a certain sense of emotional starvation or depression, really, really, really motivates the writing. And I think some of my best writing has been done when I was the least happy. I'm just pretty content.
I can believe that. Well, my thought was that I think that you should take, you're always... You know, like you're selling Jaws scripts, obviously, to make money. And I think you should put your... Have you ever thought about putting your music onto CD? You could sell it to all your fans.
Yeah, actually, I do. I will sell it. If somebody writes me and wants one, I'd sell one for $15. You tell me the kind that you want, because I've done a couple of different types, you know, stuff with vocals. And then I went into quite an instrumental phase in the late 80s.
Okay.
So... Tell me which kind you want, and I'll do that. And mainly that just kind of covers the cost of putting it together. I sort of have to custom drag them together.
Right.
You know, I don't really have it mass-produced and ready to go.
Oh, great. Well, maybe I'll take both.
Yeah, it can be done. Just drop me a note.
You like it? It's yours.
I want to hear this fooling around in the 70s. Where did Patrick say you had it on his website? You said that you were talking about fooling around in the 70s with a buddy of the...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. There's still a link on my website, which is www.sinnerw.com.
Oh, at the beginning, where it says, the middle of 70s or whatever.
Not that one. If you on the main page that you first land on,
right.
There's a link there.
Oh, okay.
You're referring to... the one page down where it says listen to the Snowman radio broadcast, and then it mentions the Sexy X, which is our FM sister affiliate. That's not that.
Oh.
Is that still going?
Well, Jim, good to talk to you. You'll definitely be missed.
Yes, indeed.
And hope to hear you back on the air soon.
Okay, thanks for calling.
A pleasure to hear you, Ray. Thank you for phoning in.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Do you still keep up the Sexy X?
No, I haven't kept that. I haven't updated that for a good long time.
Nor
have I ever seen anyone listening to it.
I listen to it. I should do some jingles for you, since Americans seem to love the way New Zealanders pronounce their E. I could do a really broad New Zealand, you know. You're listening to the 6EX.
6EX?
The 6EX, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it needs a facelift. It it really, 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 really does.
It really does, man.
In fact, I would take a lot of the... There's their song announcements I'd take out of it if they were to got back into it. I think I'm kind of busy, though, doing some work with a Jaws script thing and thinking about what's next for the Snowman. I think I'm probably going to ignore the damn thing. The X.
Look, I think this might... I don't know. This may well be Matt Campbell trying to get back on. Let's see. Hello, this is Blind Line, I think. Well, you're
not Matt, but you'll certainly do.
Yeah, you'll pass for Matt Campbell, yeah.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
And hello to the Snowman, and thank you so much for all the technical assistance for us newbies who are sort of...
My pleasure.
He's a lovely boy like that, lovely. He's always giving advice. Yeah.
We need more of you. We need more of you who will treat newbies kindly.
I'm going to make sure that he feeds us both up on pizza when I get to his ranch, and then and then there will be more of him.
Yes, there would be.
Well, it sounds like too much fun. I missed, unfortunately, the first half of the show. Oh, dear, so I'll have to...
Oh, tonight?
Yes, but...
Oh, well, it'll be in the archive. That's the good thing.
I'm so excited. But I was curious as to whether, Jim, you'd ever thought, and Jonathan, too, about doing some sort of workshop at one of the conventions about how to do what you do on the radio, just the whole art form of what you do, and some of the technical stuff, too. But I think there are so many great voices, and if you listen to people chatting with each other at the convention and just listen to that, I'm a huge fan of just listening to people interact with each other. And we've got some great hidden talent there. I noticed you and Steve were talking about foreplay. That was good.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know where my mind is.
Where's my beeper button?
I can't believe yeah. I just said that.
I can't either. Oh, God. I'm glad to know somebody else is as bad as I am.
That will be digitally archived into a sound bite and used as evidence
That's
against you, Jenny.
Great.
Said that.
That's good. Very good. All righty. I think I'll just take that for the last half of the convention spoof special when I put the blue in there. That'll be good.
Yeah.
But
interplay was the word, baby.
Well, I don't know, though, because I was thinking about my husband and I. We do this a lot. We lecture at university, and we do this a lot. And, of course, where does that... Oh, brother. Hey, Dad. But, you know, how to hold those kinds of conversations between two people and have it be very spontaneous. And we have a lot of talent in ACB that can do interplay. And I
yes.
would assume the other as well.
Well, I bet. In fact, anyway.
Well, yeah, it is a convention, I realize.
It's a logical follow-up, though, isn't it? I mean, last year we did the SoundForge tutorial workshop.
Which was marvelous.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, in spite of all of the insanity, it was...
Were you there for that?
I was there for it, and I gleaned a lot from it, and I will warn you that if the convention special that I sent Jonathan all works out, you will hear the fruits of that class.
Actually, I've heard the first 5 minutes of that this morning. I was just going through what's waiting, and it's very, very cleverly done, Janine. I'm looking forward to it's fantastic.
That's all I can say. And Jim, you were an inspiration. Believe me.
Good. Thank you. Glad
I love that kind of radio, and we in the South are huge Bob and Ray fans. So.
Oh yeah, great stuff. Yeah, that was classic. Now there were two people who had the knack of interacting.
And that's what I really listen to, and my husband does too. And we sort of have listened a little too long if you hear us lecture at all. And we're lecturing on fairly serious stuff, disability in the workplace, and all that kind of good stuff. And but. Good grief. I just think tapping the talent and the voices of ACB might be loads of fun.
Well, there is a lot of talent around, and that's one of the inspiring things that I find about conventions in general is that you meet so many people who are doing things you didn't know were possible, or you didn't know that there were people like that around, you know, and it's inspiring. It just gets me all excited every time I go to one.
Well, I'll give you a sneak peek on good storytellers. We are going to rebroadcast something from Paw Tracks in our next Canine Connection, and some of the best storytellers, although they'd never admit it and you'd never get them to do it anywhere but in a room full of guide dog users or guide dog trainers. We had a time last year where they were telling funny stories, and it's hysterical. It's great. But just capturing that kind of stuff would be wonderful at a convention. So think about a workshop like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could put you in.
I would never give anybody the key to how I do what I do because it's like a trade secret.
Oh, absolutely.
but it's not just that, though. I find that I don't want to sound sort of obnoxious about this, but you either got a knack for it or you haven't. I don't know whether it is something that can be taught.
I think that's right. It requires a very subtle set of sensibilities. You know, in your own head. And that's one of the things I've always found difficult to, in working with other people to produce music, for example. Like a vocalist who would come into my studio and try to sing something. And I know in my head what this can sound like and should sound like. And I can convey that, but they don't hear the difference between what they do and what I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of trying to coach them, I have a very difficult time keeping it from degenerating into them just trying to please me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if I'm working on it, I can make an infinite number of mistakes.
And therein, I think, lies the workshop.
I'm
how can you unlock what you have in your own head
and get that into or onto, you know, ACB radio or anywhere else for that
matter. Well, for one thing, don't stop trying to do it. You know, I'm sure I didn't open my mouth and start immediately doing what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It developed over time, and part of it was a lot of listening to myself and going, oh, I don't think so, you know.
Now, I do have to ask, because my father was, I think, very insightful in this. I've been visually impaired since I was a kid and have two younger sisters who are also visually impaired. My father bought us, as our first big present, big kid present, a tape recorder.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there with his old reel-to-reel when I was like 6 years old and playing with it. So was that one of your early things that you did with a tape recorder? And
yeah, you bet. Well, I wanted to have a radio station in the worst way, and
so I
cobbled that together. And then I would record these things for broadcast, and then I'd go listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do that same thing. I've listened to every one of the Snowman shows.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm listening to it, I'm continually thinking, well, I need to be a little more this way or a little less that.
I'm so glad you do that. I do that, too. And
always
I thought,
oh, yeah,
really
me too. I think we all do it. And Janine, if you haven't heard it already, there's actually another pre-recorded interview with Jim in the Blind Line Archives, which goes into a lot of stuff.
I will go there and listen, and thank you for the stuff you've done and keep doing for us.
Yeah,
all.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, too.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye, Jonathan.
Thanks, Janine. Bye-bye now. And this is Blind Line with the Snowman. The calls are backing up. Area code 706. Hello there.
Oh, my God, somebody's speaking through a clever little effect, aren't they? Why don't we see if we can understand them one more time?
Well, it's about time somebody answered the phone.
Okay, alien man. You got any message you really need to convey?
Well, it's this most unsteerable food.
Do you understand that?
No, but I'm sure it's very deep.
This is Joe Norton's pet turbo calling.
Hmm. It's like the Carpenters, you know, we are observing your Earth.
Yeah.
Hey, baby, yeah. Let's hear it.
Baby.
This thing doesn't do too good of a job.
Let's see if, there we go, that should be a little better.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that sounds great. How'd you do that?
How'd I do what?
Become totally normal like that.
Oh, just flipped a switch.
Oh, man. Oh, now, this is Joe Norton, who told me on Blind Line last week that he had a voice-changing phone, and I said to him, so are you on it now? So he's rang up on his voice-changing phone for me.
Yeah, I thought I would do that.
Oh. That's cute. That's your telephone that did that?
Yeah, it's a little dinky device. Now, that's with the with it turned on here, and I think this is normal. And I can make my voice go up higher,
and I can keep going, and finally, it cycles back around.
Ways, but it's not the best sounding audio that you've ever heard.
Oh, man.
It sounded like me for a second there.
I was going to say, I the only way I can do that is to inhale a whole lot of helium.
Well, there's a little device that APH sells that you could do it with, too, come to think of it.
Yep. Yeah, there's some deal that you would play your recorded books at a faster speed and then feed the Donald Duck-like sound into this thing and shift it back down.
Yeah, you can slow them down that way, too, but they sound really weird when you slow them down.
Yeah.
Of course, you can do that with SoundForge, I guess, too.
Well, yeah, any pitch shifter. Basically, that's what it is a pitch shifter. And it works okay if you're shifting it just a little bit, but the further you shift it, the more unnatural it sounds, especially when you're doing it real time.
Yeah, this one here, of course, again, the audio is not very good on this phone. I was going to tell you this is Joe Norton's pet gerbil calling, but obviously you didn't figure that one out.
No, that was a little beyond us. We did you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't figure out.
This is Joe Norton's pet gerbil calling.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Okay.
We know that now. Yeah, I get that.
That's better. I don't know.
Well, Joe, you can, now if anybody gets a call from somebody, some un-ID who doesn't want to say his name and it sounds like that, you know it's Joe Norton calling.
Yeah.
And look out.
But just wondered if, you know, this is, you're not going to like this.
Oh.
Oh, well, we'll cut you off then.
Thanks for calling, Joe.
Yeah, you can do that, too. Now, I actually haven't gone and listened to a Snowman radio show yet.
That's too bad.
I need to go do that, don't I?
You're probably wondering what the hell this is all about then. Why talk to this guy?
I'm not sure. Is this, now some of those are in the archives, right?
Yeah, when Livestream America comes back on, they've been off doing remodeling for several weeks now and an extended outage that I think should last another week or two.
Yeah.
When they come back, you can go to the Meet the Snowman page there, and every show I've ever produced is on there.
We link to it.
Mess up on their house cleaning.
I don't think they will.
We link to it from the ACB Radio site because we didn't think it was worth duplicating the excellent work of Livestream America. So the only trouble is, have you noticed that George Bush, whenever George W., whenever he talks about America, he says America, Livestream America.
His stay in Texas has done that to him, hasn't it?
Probably. Actually, he's probably lucky that it's coming out that good.
No, it's just that I can't do it that bad.
By the way, what era did Bob and Ray, you mentioned them, what era were they in?
Late 1940s, early 50s, I think. Maybe even mid-50s.
I thought they were in the 60s for as well.
Well, I don't know for sure when they really went off the air. There may be some experts out there who know dates like that, but generally I'd say 50s.
Oh, and one more question, and then I'll let you go, because I know Jonathan said there are calls backing up.
Yeah.
Maybe here we've got two people that are into radio trivia enough, so both of you probably know the answer to this question, but it wouldn't hurt to have two experts on the line here. Who is the one that does that did all those records with the... I think one of them was called Report to the Nation, where it was they would talk to a supposed politician or somebody play snippets.
Mr. President! And then they'd play a bit of a record, a part of a popular record, yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember who, though.
No, me neither.
I'd like to find out who...
Where's your two experts were?
Yeah, Jody's experts really got it. Neither one of us knows.
Well, if anybody knows who did those, I'd like to find out, because I had one of their... I had one of their records, but I don't know where it is or anything, and wouldn't mind seeing if somebody maybe has reissued some of that on CD or something.
I got a great idea. Make some yourself. They're pretty easy to do.
Mm.
Well, you can have a lot of fun with that.
I'm having trouble thinking of questions to ask with appropriate answers. The farthest I've gotten is somebody wanting to see see something, and there's a song that the Jets did back a while back with this guy going, show me, you know, just over and over again the word show me several times.
Have you used
that for something.
Have you seen Good Morning Vietnam?
No.
Oh, look, take a look at that movie if you get a chance. I mean, it's a good movie if you like radio stuff. And the guy, the DJ, who's played by Robin Williams, goes to a Richard Nixon press conference and asks some very, very inappropriate questions and puts the Nixon comments in. It's the funniest thing.
What's that rated at?
Yeah, you'd love that. Well, thank you for calling, Joe, and it's been a fantastic pleasure as always.
Yep, have a good weekend.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye. He's a pretty good guy for a Linux geek, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did a good job with that series, I thought.
Yeah. 831, hello there.
Hello. This is Joshua Loya calling from Santa Cruz, California.
Hey, welcome to Blindline, Joshua.
I think Joe's... I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think he may be referring to the Capitol steps.
Oh, it was before that, I think.
Okay, I'm just taking a while, because I've heard a couple Capitol Steps recordings. It sounds like something they could have possibly done.
They do a lot of stuff like that, and they're funny. But this was around 1970 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the 70s sometime, yeah. I remember hearing them on American Top 40 with Casey Bananas. Casey Kasem, yeah.
I was wondering if you, Jim, if you've heard of any of Phil Henry's work.
Well, I have.
I'm curious your personal opinion.
Phil's clever, and I was impressed when he was working in Minneapolis. He worked at WCCO for a while, and I thought, oh, right, this is really nice. This is an extra step beyond the usual polite radio, and I found some of it hilarious, what little I had listened to. Recently, now that he's syndicated, I haven't listened to very much of it. I listened to a little bit of it just a week or two ago, and he was saying things that I didn't really appreciate.
and I can't remember what it was at the time, but kind of giving me the idea that maybe his ideology and mine were a little different. But he's clever.
Yeah, no, he's definitely clever. I mean, there's been a couple of things that he's done which I've found, I mean, you know, granted, but it's just like with him or a lot of people who push the envelope, so to speak, they're bound to offend somebody.
Yeah, that's a tricky business, and I've always been really sensitive about that business of how far you push the envelope, and I feel like I've nudged it just a tad on occasion. And you know, to try to be entertaining, especially in this bawdy kind of risque era that we've come to, where humor is so irreverent and kind of sarcastic and almost nasty, you have to be tearing somebody down to be funny. Compare that to the old radio shows like, the Bickersons or Fibber McGee and Molly. Some of that was just innocent and hilarious. And we've lost a lot of that. And I always kind of set it as a challenge before myself to try to be amusing without being heinous and irreverent. And it's kind of hard to do. It really is. It's
like breaking up, eh?
It's a very slippery slope that you find yourself sliding down and getting just a little more irreverent as time goes on. And you can see how the culture did that, you know, how it happened. How you, in order to be just a little bit funnier than the things you're used to, you got to go one step further. And the next thing you know, you've broken through this barrier and the things have gone to hell.
That's what happened to the Roman Empire.
Well, maybe.
I do have to say, I'll let you go after this, but, you know, I had kind of messed around with, you know, doing a little bit of stuff on a local public station here, but I hadn't really gotten into radio production. But after listening to a couple of your broadcasts, I definitely, it's got me a lot more interested in messing around with, you know, what my computer and other programs can do to help me do a little bit of sound production.
Hey, that's
stuff.
Great.
Yeah,
I encourage you to do that, and you'll find your way to your own little niche, you know. Don't try to reproduce something you've heard somebody else do. Just explore for what you want to do, and you'll develop your own thing. Maybe we'll be hearing you on the radio.
Who knows? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thanks for calling.
Wonderful to hear from you. Okay, bye-bye now. Blind Line with Jim Snowbugger. Hello there.
Hey, this is Matt Campbell.
Ray!
He's back!
Ray!
Yeah, Nat's phone kicked me off when I was on the last time.
High-grade technology, see, and then it threw you off. And then shortly after that, I don't know if you heard, but it kicked me off, too. I guess that was
I came back in. So apparently Nat's phone has a time limit on it now, so I'm back to the original dial pad.
Fine.
Fast, Matt.
I thought the dial pad were charging now.
Nope. I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, anyway, they can't charge me because I haven't given them any relevant information for that kind of thing.
So, yeah.
Well, you've got 30 seconds, Matt. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to tell you about some of my favorite shows that you did. One of them that I liked was number 41, where you did the little skit with, I think his name was Crank Shirk Silky working for the government.
Oh, yeah. You know who was the prototype for that character?
I wonder.
Who?
the name is the clue.
Sorry, I give up.
Well, he works for the Library of Congress. So that's okay. We don't need to complete that question. You don't win anything anyway.
Right.
I know what you're talking
about. So was that you doing the whole thing?
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. I was even doing that voice that he does. When he was talking about these standards.
Yeah.
These standards, they have to be obeyed. You can't just do anything here.
And that was that was also the show where you talked about, we talked about transcribing your program for the deaf, I think. So as I was listening to Crank Silk Shirky from the archive, and I was thinking, well, how could this be transcribed?
Oh, I know. I remember that now, because what I was thinking was, well, that's clearly nonsense. You can't do that. So I was wondering.
I was just trying to think about how I could how I would write such a transcript and.
Well, exactly.
Get the
so what
know,
I was
the funny stuff about it across.
What I was wondering then is, since that's clearly nonsensical, do I really have the right to do this show at all, since deaf people can't enjoy it?
Well,
that's a very political sort of question, Jim. I mean, it's like trying to describe Beethoven's Fifth to a deaf person.
Well, that's right. And he was deaf, wasn't he?
He what?
He was the only guy, deaf guy, who actually knew what it was about.
What was about? Oh, yeah, I suppose he did.
I think he was. I guess that was just a satirical question on my part. And I can't remember what brought that up.
No one's mentioned your fantastic buddy phone simulation. That was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, where we had two people talking.
That was also the show where you did the story of Harry Hudahite, remember?
That was back in the 20s, wasn't it?
Harry? Yeah, number 23, I think.
Honkin' Harry Hudahite, and he's in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
I also liked number 26, where you went through all of those strange last names, and then from there you went into a satire of these automated answering systems, like the one that said, please enter your PIN number now.
I hate those. God, I hate those. I'm so tired of
them. That was a good show. That was a good show. You're amazing the way you just remember the numbers, Matt. You must
have
that
incredible?
Yeah.
You know, there are a handful of people who can do that, who can remember which show what was in.
Mm.
I don't.
Scary, isn't it? I know. You get emails from people saying, what was that thing you recommended in the third segment of main menu number 27? Oh, I have a clue what's in main menu number 27.
And you ask, which one was that?
Well, at least you can go look it up if you want.
Yeah.
I've been kind of trying to collect a listing of what's in what show, just for my own reference, because I wasn't organized from the beginning and didn't write that down. But people like Matt and Patrick is like that, and Derek Lane is like that. You know, those people have really good memories, and they could do this for me.
Well, sometimes I forget the URL for my own Look at Linux shows on main menu, and I have to go back and look them up to accumulate the links on my webpage, so I don't remember everything.
Probably some fan of the show does and could help you out.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Probably some fan of the show.
Yeah, I don't know.
Knows it.
Well, I'm glad you called, Matt, and I'm pleased you persisted.
And I didn't even have to leave Linux, because now I have two machines, one running Linux and one running Windows.
Well, this is a very technical, so that's a real spinny sort of way of saying that you didn't have to leave Linux. And that's a sort of Clinton-esque type of statement.
Well, the race is on. We'll see which one crashes first.
What, Clinton or Linux?
No, Windows or Clinton.
Oh, right. All right, then.
Thanks, Matt.
All right.
Excellent. Bye.
Bye.
I think that Matt should do the intro to all ACB radio programs, so we could call it the doormat. Hello there.
Good evening. It's Dave.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave. I got the stuff.
Dave McElroy. And, well, let's see. Should I be nasty? No, I won't be nasty.
Dave, you got a great voice.
You
ought to be doing something on the radio yourself.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. When I was in high school, we did some stuff on a couple of friends of mine and I on a couple of tape recorders. That's what we had in the 70s. As you know, you were there.
Yeah, yeah.
They sounded so bad that I went as a social work. What can I say? And stayed away from it. I probably would like to go back into something, though. But I've just not, you know, I've thought about going on ACB radio, but I don't really have the, I don't have a, you know, I listen to the libraries that you guys have out there. I think, oh my God, you know, there's no way. I couldn't do it. But anyway,
I'm not sure that's true, though, Dave. You know, I don't have anything. The difference between me and every other program on ACB radio, for example, as near as I could tell, was that everybody else had something substantive to say.
Well, and actually, that made sense actually pretty good. I hadn't thought about it like that. By the way, I'm listening to Sex Jacks. That's not half bad. I've never heard it before.
Oh, really?
But you made me curious, so Well, since our computer's on DSL, I got on the phone and flipped on 6X on the computer. It's not half bad stuff.
Yeah, there's not enough stuff there, but it's the kind of stuff from the 70s that I like to listen to.
Well, yeah, it's very nice, but I'm sure that after we've gone through the cycle, boring, but... You know,
he's using the ACB Radio Cafe technique.
Joe Norton's question, the answer to Buchanan and Goodman.
Buchanan and Goodman did the little clips together of various songs.
Sounds like,
right.
Sounds like an accountancy
what he was after.
Okay.
I think that's what he was after.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I was thinking, because I didn't know they did anything about Mr. President. I was thinking, of course, about the spaceship that landed and the other ones that did that, but I had the impression that's who he was talking about. Could be wrong.
Go look for that and see if you can find that.
Well, I don't, it's not, I'll tell you why, it's not on CD, because there was apparently quite a furor over the copyrights. Dickie Goodman, I think he's deceased, and maybe both of them are, and there was quite a flap over who got the copyright or who had the rights to it, and so I don't believe any of that stuff is out on CD.
You mean since they were including bits of other people's work, or because they had a dispute between themselves?
I don't know. I never got that far. I suspect it was the former, though.
Yeah, I would have thought that would have been a little sticky. But, you know, there are some music where they've brought in loops in recent years of other songs. Like, let me see, it's the, some of that pseudo-rap stuff. Seems like the phrase...
Yeah,
touch disc,
and also recently there's another version of Buffalo Springfield's For What It's Worth going around, or bits of it, and then there's one with Gordon Lightfoot's Sundown. I mean, it's
I suspect, as an old person, that the original authors get paid for that. I don't know
because I first became aware of this when Stars on 45 did their thing in the early 80s, and I understood that if you kept all of the songs to under 30 seconds, you didn't have to pay royalties or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
I just
think that as an old person speaking, it's amazing that we've come so far that these days people can't think of new songs to write, and so they have to pinch other people's and put them in little loops in the songs. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it does seem that way. As far as to Bob and Ray, I believe they were going until the early 60s, maybe 62, 63, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were, they've been syndicated all over the place for years after
mm-hmm.
that. But anyway, yeah, I used to do, when I was in high school, we did I don't know why, I got this, I hope I'm not offending any, I got into these, making a light of some of these preachers that wanted beg for your money, and at the time there happened to be one by the name of Curtis Springer, and we had a time with him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Preachers are always good fun to listen to.
I actually was brazen enough to actually call him, because he was in a hotel room in Los Angeles every week, you know, trying to get people together for his rides up to his Zizek Mineral Springs, which is a desert hole out. If you, I don't know how well you know California, but
memories of that program, and I remember that phrase now.
The area between Barstow, California, and Las Vegas, Nevada, it's about 120 miles of desert. Right in about the center of those two points on I-15 is Baker, California, and somewhere outside of that community is this Mineral Springs. I mean, I really can't imagine why anybody would have gone there. It's just there's. I mean,
for the Mineral Springs.
Well,
and the faith community that was there.
Anyway, it was very interesting. We had lots of fun making fun of him because, of course, he was selling all these products for a $10 and $15 contribution. So. That was my foray into doing the stuff that you
well,
do now.
Well, Dave, the industry is desperately in need of more entertainment, especially our little minor world here. So you ought to think about what you could do today, because you got a great voice and a good memory for humor, a good sense of humor. You could help us out by seeing what you can bring together.
And
having never done it before,
send your contribution.
I'd have to get with you in person and sort of not break your, pick your brain, because I don't even know how.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, it comes back to Janine's product.
You got a computer, you're halfway there.
Yeah. I got a computer and I'm on your webpage as far as that goes.
Well, Well, nice. I've got to move it on, Dave, but
Take care. Gentlemen, we're not going to make it to Des Moines, but please, hopefully we'll see you another time. Take care, guys.
I hope
so. Thanks.
Bye.
By the way, before we were talking about other great acts that were on the radio back in the 50s and 60s, we must not forget the Joy Boys, one of our own, a blind guy, Ed, what's his name? Ed Willis Scott, and you're not going to, you don't remember this? Because I
well, no, I mean, this is America
Ed,
we're talking about. America.
Oh, somebody knows that, and they'll call in.
I'm sure they
anyway,
will.
Anyway, he was really very, very professional. They were funny.
Yep.
He's a guy we should be proud of.
Well, Mr. Starbucks.
His last name we should remember.
Jim, let me introduce you to area code 615.
Nashville.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Ah.
It must be Nashville.
I hope you
Nashville,
noticed.
Tennessee.
Yes, and I hope you noticed, Mr. Killian, that the person before you talked about being in an hotel.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, good on you. Well, I'll be quiet now.
Yep. I understand. I was just learning this today that Rhino Records apparently is going to be putting out some of the Dickie Goodman Bicep records on CD.
Well, that'll be interesting to Joe Norton.
I would love to get some of those. There were some great ones. One of the ones I remember had in 1972 Democratic and Republican conventions together, and you had various people, including Henry Kissinger. Do you remember that one?
I don't remember that specifically, no.
Yes, but this one, every time I interviewed Henry Kissinger, you always heard, gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman.
I don't imagine he had a lot of trouble doing that, though.
But you have to sort of wonder what somebody of his talent would have done in the digital arena.
It would have been a lot easier, I think. Back in the old splicing, tape splicing days. By the way, did you ever master the art of splicing tape yourself?
I never did, you know. By the time I was working in broadcasting full time, we had reels and stuff. But then I always had a little production person.
I found it to be very difficult to do a good job at that, and I had these little forms that you're supposed to be able to use, you know, to lay the tape in, and I still could never manage it. I'm so glad we're not using audio tape these days.
I was never able to master splicing tape either, and I was just trying that a few months ago.
Well, try it on a cassette. That's impossible. You know, a quarter inch is bad enough, but cassette's just way.
I would not even attempt it on a cassette.
It's difficult for a sighted person with patience to do on a cassette.
But amazingly, they can actually do it. I've seen it done.
Yeah, it can be done.
But another pair of humorous disc jockeys that were out in the 60s was Hudson and Landry. Ever heard of them?
Yeah, uh-huh. Let's see, they did the Ajax...
Everything.
Yeah, what does that help?
Ajax. They had Ajax Liquor. I love
Ajax Liquor Store, yeah.
Store. That was funny. At the end, guy rolling off the order says, are you having a party? No, I'm just trying to work up a nerve to go to confession.
Yeah, I remember that ending line.
And then they had the Ajax Airlines.
Great humor.
Ajax Mortuary. They were great. They actually worked out of KGBS in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
They were great.
See, Blind Line's a very learning experience, isn't it?
Well, I think we've all learned something here.
Yeah.
I definitely want you to try and collect all of the Snowman broadcasts. One of my favorites was a fairly recent one, number 72, in which you started out by talking about your orator.
Oh, did you have an orator?
No, I never even heard of it until you mentioned it.
That was a device, one of the first talking terminals, and it had a Votrax speech synthesizer, which was a board, a big circuit board about maybe 8-10 inches square, and the thing had amazingly good speech. I mean, it wasn't natural sounding, but it was fun because it was very monotone, but it had a pitch pot on the back end of the thing, and you could make it say a sentence, grab the pitch pot, and crank it up and down in your favorite fashion, and
just come up with some terribly amusing inflections. And I'd love to get that thing to work. I've still got it in the studio now. For some reason, doesn't want to talk.
Wasn't that also the piece of hardware that would substitute words instead of saying certain bad words that you might type in? I think that...
Well, there were things like that, but yeah. I don't think this particular one does that. But I have heard of such things.
Yeah, I think wasn't one of the Voltrex ones that actually did that.
That's horrible. How prudish can you get?
Well, yeah. Well, Michael, as always, it's been enlightening, and I appreciate you calling.
Yes, one thing, Jim, I have to totally agree with you about computers and Windows.
Kind of a pain, huh?
Kind of.
Yeah, it can be pretty aggravating.
I had to get my entire thing completely reformatted this week.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Trouble. Well, don't throw it out. I know it's tempting, but good luck. Thanks for calling, Mr. Michael.
And I may talk with you sometime about the SF script.
Okay. I'm waiting to hear from you.
Okay.
Hang on.
Okay. Bye now. Operators are standing by. Area code 916, hello there.
Hey, this sounds like another familiar voice.
Yeah, speaking of Joy voice.
Another Joy. Now, who was that? Ed, what was his last name?
Wasn't it Ed Walker?
Ed Walker, that's absolutely right. Ding, 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 ding.
And she wins?
I remember from playback, you know?
Yeah, he's a friend
of... The only Ed I can think of who was blind was Walker.
He's a friend of Ed Potter's. And, uh-huh. Yeah, they were funny, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was going to say, say Buchanan and Goodman earlier, but somebody beat me to the punch.
Well, you don't get the... Well, you one prize per listener, so anyway,
yes,
I wouldn't have...
Yes, I do remember a friend of mine that actually did have a CD of Buchanan and Goodman. I don't know if it was bootleg or what, you know, but I do have some of their stuff.
Well, let's see. You want to give out your self-host address?
I don't think I have it on my FTP thing right now.
that's fun stuff, though.
Oh, yes. Yes, but I just wanted to say hey.
Well, you've been a Snowman listener for since the beginning, really, haven't you?
Let's see. I started back around show 16, and then I guess at one point when I heard about... when I accidentally came across Livestream America's FTP site and I found I could download, I said, oh boy. I better download and listen to it on a substandard streaming system, you know?
And no more breakup. It's kind of aggravating to get partway through and then have the stream break up and drop and then you have to start from scratch.
But Joy's on DSL, though. She doesn't have to put up with that.
No, I'm not.
Aren't you?
No.
Oh,
not anymore.
Oh, I see. I hadn't caught up with that.
With my cable company right now. They gave me some substandard software that is made for people with VSDD.
Oh, man.
VSDD, what is that?
Visual Stimuli Dependency Disorder.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You know,
yes.
Them people with sight, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I love that. Where'd you get that from? Oh, that's fantastic. Can I...
See, not everything has gotten from somewhere.
I'd like to buy that one.
I actually made that one up. Well, actually, I extended upon something that Ed Potter came up with, where he made a speech one time about people who have light dependence. And I thought, you know what? I could add more to that.
Yeah, you need to kind of flesh that out a little bit and make it a broader, more grandiose phrase, and you've done that.
Yes, definitely.
It's groovy, man. Groovy.
Excuse me?
Sorry. It's groovy.
He was grooving on it.
Groovy.
Well, goodbye. It is a little bit like that. Dealing with sighted people, you realize how dependent they actually are.
You hear a lot of these people with these different disorders, attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I'm going to have fun with this one.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'm so pleased you held on and got through, Joy, and
this. Yeah, pretty much 1,000 minutes worth it. Okay.
All right. Well, and also congratulations on being somebody who actually made something up themselves.
Hey.
I take great
great satisfaction in that when I hear people say something that they actually created themselves, because so much this is a culture of people copying what's on TV or what they heard somewhere else and just reproducing it, you know?
Well, I like making fun of the politically correct. I'm definitely politically incorrect.
Well, that's probably why you like the Snowman show, is we were sort of given to that.
I got tired of hearing all this, you know, you got to say it this way, you got to, you know, and it's time for something a little logical for a change, folks.
Yeah, back to reality.
By the way, I was going to ask, I heard a call for people who contributed to the cafe. What's this all about?
I'm not saying.
I won't be at the convention this year. I
tell you what, you will, whatever it is, you'll hear it on ACB Radio Mainstream, I promise.
Okay. Well, next year we'll have to figure out a way. You won't have to steal to make it to the Hastings convention.
Yeah, you got to start your fundraiser now.
Oh, yes.
Jim and I have been conspiring. We're going to have a groovy time at the ACB convention.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, we'll catch you in on it by remote control.
Hey, man.
Best we can do this time, I guess.
Yeah, well, next year we're going to try and make the Houston one.
Yeah.
Is that where it is?
What? Yeah,
Houston next year.
Oh, God, I can just imagine ringing up the DSL tech. Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm going to go now, Joy.
What?
So I said I'm going to go now.
Okay.
Nice to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. It's like Tom Lehrer said once, plagiarize. Let no one else's work evade your eyes. Good. You like Tom Lehrer?
Well, you know, I'm not really familiar with that
one. Oh, I might bring the CDs over.
So I don't know
over.
If I do or don't.
I'll try and bring the CDs over.
Alrighty.
Hello, this is Blindline.
Hello, guys. This is Jeremy Hartley, actually, checking in with the two of you. I haven't spoken to either one of you in quite a while.
Hey, yeah, it's the music guy.
That's right.
The whole nerd man.
This is the first night that I've had off in quite some time, so wow. I figured I would just coincidentally check in with Blindline, and there was Jim. So.
You've been singing live, have you?
Yes.
Yeah, because you sound a little hoarse.
Yes, and in fact, I'm working. I had a show last night, and we recorded it on the mini disc recorder, and got some pretty decent sounds out of it. And so now I'm going to pipe it through SoundForge and see what I can get out of it here in the next few days.
You mean you're going to try to falsify reality just a tad?
Put it through acoustic mirror.
Get it in some kind of form other than mini disc, but no, it has been very very enjoyable, and just listening to the Snowman shows every Sunday night. I would come back from a gig at midnight, 1 o'clock, whatever. I would get ready to turn in. I'd put on the Snowman show, and there was one time that I just started laughing hysterically. That was you were walking through your. This wasn't the tour of the estate, as it were, but it was the. You're walking outside, and snow and ice. Falling down, and you could hear it as it was coming down, and all of a sudden you heard this yelp, and you jumping out of the way frantically.
Yeah. Oh man, almost came down right on my head. Yeah, I still got that. I'm going to drag that out here when it gets really hot and make myself feel cool.
Won't it be great when we have a reality recorder so that when it's really hot, you can just sort of jump into this cubicle and rerun bits of your life that you want to relive again, recorded?
I did tell you, didn't I, that I actually brought up a recording of crickets and warm summer wind. And put that on my headphones while I went out to shovel snow.
Right.
That was great. That was really neat.
And did it help?
Well, that's great. Yeah, it's a shame. I was considering doing the going to the convention this year, and I'm actually going to be in New Jersey, of all places, at a training, a week of training for technology, which is sort of my day job at the moment, is working in blindness technology and training and evaluating and that sort of thing, and so I will be in New Jersey that
time. Oh,
that's
too bad that you won't be there with us. Too bad the timing didn't work out there.
Yes, but of course you folks will be hearing from me, especially Jonathan, as soon as we can get our schedules coordinated, interviewing you regarding your SoundForge tutorial, which I listened to in one day.
sitting through it. And I actually learned a little bit about the regions, which I didn't know about. So.
I'd like to be able to say I created them one day, but unfortunately I can't.
A good bit more than that, I guess.
Right.
Is the Whole Note show still running then now? Is it in production?
It is in production, yes. And I want to be able to group together at least four shows so that because I have such a crazy schedule, some weeks I'm constantly on the road doing some various things, and you know, you get home and you have I always like to say I wish you could get 30 hours out of a 24-hour day, and
that's the problem I've had.
But
that's
where you use SoundForge's features to speed things up, you see.
That's right. I have to create a region.
Yeah.
You know, for each day of the week.
Yeah, and then wait half an hour while it speeds it up for you.
Right.
Do that.
No, you've got to use a cut list, man.
Yes, the cut list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to use the cut list. Yeah. But nonetheless, I just wanted to quickly check in because I hadn't talked to you guys in quite a while, and just wanted to wish you well on resorting out everything
Thanks
in your life. And I've enjoyed the conversations that you and I've had on MSN Messenger about all sorts of topics, and I know we'll be doing it soon again.
Yeah, we'll do that. Glad you called.
And talking on MSN Messenger as well. All right, then.
That's right.
Yeah, see you later, then.
Yeah.
We catch one another on there from time to time. I'm on there. Sometimes I'm on there when I don't mean to be on there.
I know, it's annoying.
That's right, and he was able to get some Nat King Cole from me at one point.
Ramble on.
No, I like that old schmaltzy stuff.
Oh, me too, mate. Oh, I like it.
I spent about an hour looking for Stardust.
Yeah. That's because you weren't looking upwards. Now listen to me, Jeremy Hartley. I've put another call on here already, so you have to hang up.
Adios, then.
Area code 626, hello.
Good evening, Jonathan. This is Wayne from West Covina.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad, thanks. I just thought I'd help out with that song that Joe Norton was asking about. That's not Buchanan and Goodman. That's it was out in 1960 and written by two guys who called themselves Nutley and Winkley. And,
after the news guys, right?
Yeah.
Huntley and Brinkley.
Yeah, after the news guys. And the song Report to the Nation was out then, and they were trying to be Buchanan and Goodman clones. And it succeeded somewhat. Also, Bob and Ray were on in the late 40s, and they went off in the 60s but came back in the 70s. What I'm not sure is, I think they came back on Boston Radio. Whether they were syndicated in the 70s, I'm not sure, but I know they came back for a while.
So they were doing live new stuff in the 70s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Talk to you later.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Oh.
All right. Well, that was good.
Gee.
Good to know.
Yeah. I'm exhausted. I haven't had this many buttons to push since Ronnie Millsap.
You know, he actually knows who I am, and I'm impressed by that.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I don't know. He contacted me about SoundForge, and I just sort of thought I'd press my luck and say, want to come on Blindline? And he phoned me up. I was just sitting here one Sunday afternoon, and Ronnie Millsap's on the end of the phone. You know,
I'll be darned.
And I didn't realize he is a main menu listener, a Blindline listener, a Snowman Radio broadcast fan. He listens to us, so there you go. See,
that's because he must have good taste. He certainly has excellent performing skills.
Oh, absolutely. He's marvelous. Tell me about your script building industry and how that's going, your scripts for JFW.
Well, you know, I'm a programmer by day. I'm actually an electrical engineer by training and got into this software thing about 25 years ago and have stayed with it. So the leap into writing scripts was pretty natural for me, especially since I needed to do some adaptations for my own purposes. And finally decided, well, you know, as I'm adapting some of these other things for myself and adapting applications that people are, that they're obviously popular and people want to use, why don't I make them available to others? And since I'm looking for a way to maybe get a little extra income to help me maintain the studio, income that I'd lost when I stopped doing radio ads and advertising jingles, this is maybe a way I can recapture a little bit of that. So I am indeed selling what scripts I have. And that has taken a lot of effort and a lot of time. It turns out that the PC environment being what it is, there is just a tremendous amount of trial and error that's, that goes into figuring out how an application works and getting it to work well. And my guess is that eventually I will move out of that activity. Right now I'm giving it a lot of effort, a lot of time. It's one of the things that hasn't really received as much time and effort as I think it should, due to the snowman load, and probably is the next mess I'll be cleaning up here.
So for which programs do you have scripts at present?
Well, see, you know, of course, SoundForge 5, I adapted the HJ scripts for SoundForge 4.5 to add certain functionality to it, the ability to skim back and forth with the arrow keys and hear the audio as you do. And then I actually have the only scripts I know of out there for SoundForge 5, although there was a free set that some people tried to just rename some things from 4.5, but it didn't really come close to addressing all of the myriad changes they'd made in dialogues, all of the sliders that are different than standard sliders and won't speak their values and this and that. Anyway, so that's SoundForge 5.0. I also have MSN Instant Messenger scripts that will cause your context message to be spoken automatically while you're still focused in the typing window where you would type your message. You don't have to do anything. When their message comes in, it'll be spoken automatically, and you can go back and review previous messages and that sort of thing. And it'll also do what I gather WindowEyes does automatically, and that is announce when your contact comes online. So there's some nice features in that, little clever things as well that you know, show you when your message is, when your contact is typing a message, and cute little things like that. But I've sold a lot of those. MSN Instant Messenger is probably the most popular script I have. There's also some stuff, and you can go to my WWSNRW website and see everything that's there. Also, I guess, Easy CD Creator, the 4.0 version, Audio Catalyst and Audio Grabber did scripts for those that make that a lot easier to use. Basically, just looking for ways to make it easier for a blind person to operate these applications they use a lot. You know, I find that, as I've said many times here, there's not enough time in the day. And the little losses that you incur as you mouse around and look for this and look for that, or shift tab, 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 tab around the rotation, or all of the little things that you do trying to get something accomplished, basically waste your time. And if you can use your screen reader's capability to give you just instant access to things, hey, that's time saved, you know? So,
you mentioned you're looking,
passion of mine.
Yeah, and you do an absolutely fine job. We still have a couple of minutes if you wish to get a call in with the snowman. Our number is area code, I haven't had to give it for a while because it's been so busy on the board. It's area code 212-812-2800. It's area code 212-812-2800, and when you're asked to enter a conference code courtesy of spiderphone.com, who make all this possible, enter 0480-5512. That conference code again is 0480-5512. And you mentioned that you were looking to find ways of funding your studio. Can you tell me a bit more about what's in there? Are you actually on the air where you are?
Well, yeah. I do have an AM transmitter and an FM transmitter. I don't continually broadcast like you do with MBS. I basically get on and use it kind of like people use their radio webcaster, you know?
Yes, oh God.
That's how I use it.
How powerful are they?
Well, the it is the Radio Webcaster FM, so it's exactly what that is. The AM is actually an old 1968 vacuum tube model that came out of a college. It used to be used as their carrier current AM transmitter. And I don't know how much power that is, and I'm not sure we really want to get into that here.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm very sorry.
Quite a ways.
No comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's impressive. I actually had to pad it back a little bit to keep it within my my parameters here.
Well, man, that's good. And you do jingles, because you mentioned that you were doing jingles.
Yeah. Back in the late 80s, I started doing that. I struck up a thing with a local radio station here, and I have some that still run around, in fact, and did radio ads, and still will do them from time to time if somebody wants one. But I really don't enjoy that much, that work, actually. I found that people are so into reproducing what they hear other people doing,
yes,
that they try to get me to do things I really don't enjoy doing. And while I'm, I guess, I'm enough of a prostitute to go ahead and take their money and do it, I don't really find that it's fulfilling.
That's one of the things. And you did the ACB radio jingles, of course, which is still up and running, and you've probably heard some of Patrick's Dick Talk-based modifications of those, which are very nice.
I just did.
Yeah.
He's good at that.
He's brilliant. Oh, he's a brilliant young man. And yeah. And you also did stuff for MBS FM like this. Let's see if we can dig it up here.
Hello, welcome to A from your 88.5 MBS FM.
We got a whole series of those.
Do you use them?
Oh, man, we use them, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure that you, you'd trotted those out yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. My goodness, they are in the system and on, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's fun stuff. I enjoy doing that. I'd like to get... Well, I don't know. You know, I was going to say I like to get paid for that, but on the other hand, there is a certain pleasure that you get out of the license that you have to just innovate when you're working free.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want to do, and if the client likes it, great. If he doesn't like it, you just put it in the archive and show it off to other people.
Well, one of the greatest lessons that I had to teach in my life was to try and explain how one says Wanganui. You really got the hang of that.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did you do it right?
Yeah.
Wanganui.
Wanganui, yeah.
It's not the hard G.
No, it's
you
not.
You don't say Wanganui.
No, you don't. And that was very important. Otherwise, people would know it was an American doing a jingle for Wanganui. Wanganui. Yeah.
Well, maybe I can get the hang of that New Zealand accent after all. You just have to, when you show up here in about a month, we'll sit out in the party shed and you can give me some pointers.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of condition I'm in after all that travel, but you know.
Well, I like people with jet lag coming from the West because they, their hours are all messed up. And I'm a late night kind of guy.
Well, that could work out quite well then.
Yeah. It'll be midday for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't sleep on planes really terribly well, which is a major issue when you've been traveling for like 23 hours or something.
No, that's a long flight too.
Yeah.
I've gone to Europe a couple of times, and you know, we'd fly overnight with the idea that we would sleep, and there's no way. I mean, I might start to dream just a little bit, but that's it. And then, of course, as you're flying east from here, the sun comes up about 1 in the morning. Hello, and it's time to get up. Good morning. And I am not at all in the mood, but I haven't been able to rest, and so now you're trouncing around the European airports at noon, feeling like it's about 5 in the morning, and you're just dead. Well, one time we came back from there, and the plane was very lightly loaded, and it's one of those 747s with the bank of about 5 seats in the middle. There's nobody in this one bank of seats, so I just lay down and strap my legs in at one end, strap my chest in at the other end, and oh my God, I can't believe I slept for about 7 hours. I didn't even wake up, and I don't do that in bed at home.
I'd love to be able to do that. It's one of the reasons why I've often had this idea that I really should just fly business class and pay the upgrade myself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of difference. It really does.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't know.
Coach class seats are horrible.
Yeah, oh, they are. I know all about that. You know those rounds like Ferro Jaca and what's another one? Do you know Ferro Jaca?
No.
Oh, you know a Three Blind Mice is another one. You know where you can sing them in a round where.
Three blind mice.
Yeah, and then three myopic rodents or something, and then the next person comes in a bar behind, and you do this sort of round. Yeah, well, I wonder how long you would have to. I've just got ACB radio coming through a pot on the mixer here. I just wonder how you'd have to time it so you could start singing around with yourself. See, if I wind this up here. This person comes in a bar behind, and you do this sort of round. Yeah, well, I wonder how long you would have to.
It can be done.
Yeah.
I've done that on the Snowman Unplugged, and
I thought you would have.
The amount of time depends very much if you're using Winamp on how big you've set your buffer to be.
Mm, how big is your buffer?
Oh my! The games that boys play. I'll show you your buffer if you'll show me yours.
Well, mine's 32K, I think.
No, you set, then there's a percentage that you can set down for how much to, there are two sliders.
Yeah, but
you can go in there and mess around with. And I put mine down to about 10%, and I haven't looked at how much that is.
Yeah.
It's probably 5 to 10 seconds. And you can set it to zero, and it doesn't really act like zero. It does something funny when you say zero. It goes ahead and takes some other reading, I guess. But anyway, the long and short of it is that we did that one night, started messing around and doing the round thing as it comes back, and of course it, and then you can listen to it degenerate, you know.
Yeah, I'd often like to. Itself. Yeah, I'd love to leave it on to the point that it's just no longer intelligible at all.
It does turn into a periodic kind of noise.
Yeah,
it takes about maybe 30 or 40 rounds.
And people would say, "Oh, it's the Snowman Radio broadcast, right?"
Yeah, how clever.
Yeah. Why don't you set up a Yahoo groups list or something so that people who want to know when you're going to do these unplugged things can tune in?
Well, I should do that.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know. There's no answer to that as to why I haven't.
There you go.
Except that lately I've just been not doing the unplugged. Seems like the weekend nights I've found other activities I'd rather be doing.
Yes.
And being on while one or two people listen.
What's in the party shed?
Ah, the famous party shed is actually an old wash house. It used to be where they did the laundry in this, we live in this farm, you know, and it has a lot of old buildings around. And it's just out here near the back of the house where we walked in during the tour, you may recall.
Yep,
I'm now in it, and it's got a refrigerator. Most important, a refrigerator.
Yes. Mm.
Wouldn't be without it. Stocked with pop, beer, and wine. And several chairs so you can sit around. A radio, AM/FM radio, of course. A keyboard that I can use to talk to the computer in the house. Of course, a little note-taker cassette, so I can jot down any brilliant ideas that might flash through while I'm out here. And there's also the big, what I call the signal snatcher AM antenna, which can be used to do long-distance AM listening.
That's fun, isn't it? Especially in the States.
Oh, you can get stuff from all over the place. Even in the daytime. It's a pretty phenomenal gain that you get off that antenna. And actually, you don't have to hook it up to your radio. You just put your radio near it, like you do with some people may be familiar with the select antenna.
Okay.
Same kind of principle, inductive coupling. The grill is stuffed in here, Jonathan, in case we ever grill out, eat flesh, that kind of thing.
Isn't it one of those George Foreman grills that everybody talks about these days?
It's an ordinary.
Just you.
Regular.
Well, I don't know what a George Foreman grill is, but everybody talks about them, so they must be good.
Well, you know, I'm not really part of the culture. I'm sort of an outsider, and I don't really follow that stuff. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Ah, well. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's about that time. I want to say that who knows what will happen when we get together, except that we will have some fun in a formal sense at the convention, which we'll probably talk more about closer to the time. But we might do some streaming when we get to your part of the world.
We'll certainly have the ability to do that. We won't make any commitment at this point as to
no.
We'll do it or not.
No, we will not. We might.
We'll just say we'll follow our inclinations, and
yes.
If the spirit moves,
yeah. We'll go where the wind takes us.
Yeah.
Hey, what sort of music do you like? Because we generally go out with a track, and what sort of music are you into? What do you feel like hearing? We can play.
Oh,
yourself.
I don't know. I really don't feel like hearing anything at all.
Well, that's charming, isn't it?
No, I am into. I really didn't have an answer, so that's why I answered the way I did.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I like the new age kind of music. The sort of where jazz and new age cross is good stuff. I also like the more mellow pop stuff from the 70s and 80s.
Stuff like Bread, you know.
Yeah, we all like Bread. Was a favorite of mine at one time. Absolutely, big time. But I don't know. I like. Al Jarreau had some fun mellow stuff that was jazzy but sophisticated.
What we'll do is we'll go out with Bread doing Lost Without Your Love, and the reason why I picked that is because it always seems to me, this bit here, that sounds just like The Young and the Restless, don't you think?
Well, I don't know.
No.
I haven't listened to that. I told you I'm really not part of the culture. It's really true.
No, what culture? Blind people don't listen to The Young and the Restless just because they're
I hate
blind.
Television, you know?
Yeah?
That's on TV, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And I'm a real zealot about TV. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, we should play the Stan Freberg television song. That's great. I haven't got it, though.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Well, you know, I'm very sorry that we're losing, at least for the time being, the Snowman Radio broadcast. You truly are one of those rare geniuses, and it's been fantastic to have you part of ACB Radio. I know that you're not going to go away anywhere. And as always, the 2 hours have flown by, and I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been a real thrill.
Kind of you to say that, and really appreciate you having me on. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to being back. We'll figure out something in the fall, and we'll keep having fun together.
Lost and all alone, I always thought that I could make it on my own. But since you left, I hardly make it through the day. My tears get in the way, and I need you back to stay. I wander through the night. Find the words to make it right. All I want is just the way it used to be. If you're here close to me, I've got to make you see. Yeah.